Welcome back to, look at the smoke cloud every time. People on streaming services that have no idea.
No.
How cool that looks.
Screw them, guys.
It's episode 14, the Blackout Podcast. I'm Lloyd.
I'm Jake.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you're all having a great week. It's kind of currently roasting here in the UK, so everyone's kind of like, at least us guys who can't handle the heat and drained. Are you bare-chested right now, Jake?
Of course. Bare-chested and bare-bottomed.
I feel overdressed now.
this is a very visible, like, lethargy and just...
Okay, I need to out-naked you for the next episode. I'm just going to sit there, my legs. I'm naked from the waist down right now.
Sweet, snap. We're good.
Are you? Oh, what? I'm naked from the waist down and up. I'm not, that's a lie. From the waist back.
It's just like a gown from hospital. You just got a t-shirt tattooed across your chest.
Yeah, I think I have, actually.
And never nude.
Oh, look at that tan line on my neck there. I've been surfing this week a few times, so.
Oh, dope. well, that's not the metric by which we measure our week in these podcasts, though. I'm more interested in about creativity than surfing.
That's true, yeah. So let's just dive straight into some creative jams because we don't bother asking each other how we're doing.
I mean,
we do off air, but you guys are not interested. So let's get straight into it. Before we started, we were practicing with trying to get a video that was submitted to us by one of our listeners. So it's a listener's question, and I'm quite excited just to see if I can actually share a video and have it work. So you guys on streaming services like Spotify and Apple, you're all going to be able to hear the question as well. I think I'm assuming, because I haven't listened to the question, because it's going to be live, that the Daniel Rothschild who's asking it will sort of infer and explain what objects and stuff he's going to be talking about. But here we go. What do I do now, Jake? Oh, I press share screen. Okay. And then I press this button. Look how professional we are.
Sweet, man.
Just got to click around aimlessly. Here we go. Can you see the video, Jake?
I can, yeah.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to press play on 3, 2.
Hello. So as I promised, I have a small challenge for you. I have these props with me for like 4 years, I think, since I bought them. I know there's something to do with it, but I'm not sure what to do. So there you go. So this is a medicine organizer. It's in Hebrew, I know, but it's like Sunday, Monday, and so on and so on. This is the first thing. And this is the second thing. I have pills, but it's like Danny pills. So I have a bag of the same color if I want to, and I have an assortment. And the cool thing about them is that they open up, okay? And if they're open, you can see, you can put a little note inside. So I know there's something to do with it, but yeah, if you go, you can find out something good. I would love to know. Also, there's different stuff on each color. Maybe you can see. So this is the challenge. Pill organizers and fake pills that you can put a note inside. Have fun.
Love that. 100% love that.
Do you?
Well, as I'm watching it, I have like ideas coming to my head straight away. So where do you go with it?
Fair enough. I mean, this is in, obviously it's just, you know, talking, but for some reason, the props don't massively interest me. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's completely fine to use whatever you want as a prop. It's an interesting challenge because they're not very interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just normal stuff, right? It's just like pills and a box, just quite innocent.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I think the very first thing that came into my head is predictions and free will and
like a chair test. I was going with sort of thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kind of like a chair test where, it's not fully fleshed out, but almost where, because Daniel said that the pills have writing on them as well. So it'd be cool if they said the days of the week also. But what the routine would be is that you have all of them, all the colored pills mixed up into a bag, and you have a prediction in an envelope, right? So you say, reach into this bag, pull out a pill, hold it tightly in your fist, and drop it into one of the days of the week. And they do this 7 times. And when they finish, you open up each thing and you read the day. It's like, this is Monday. So look at the pill that you put inside on Monday, and it says Friday. You're like, okay, that didn't work. Open up Tuesday, the pill has written on it Thursday. You open up Wednesday, and all the way through, and maybe there's one right, maybe there's two right, but mostly all of them are wrong. And they're obviously different colors too. But then you reveal the prediction says that it shows the colors are matching exactly on a piece of paper, which is pretty darn cool. You know, it's like, wow, I didn't realize how you could do that. But then, like Daniel said, the other cool thing is that inside them you can put notes. And that's where I would say, actually open up every pill, open up Monday's pill, and it says, you will put me in Monday. Even though on Monday's pill, written on the outside of it, it says like Tuesday or whatever. And then open up Tuesday and it says so on and so forth, you know? Or because I think once you've opened up two, it's very boring and repetitive to get to the end. Like, okay, yeah, we get it. Okay, Sunday, yeah, you've got them all right. Yeah. It would just be cool if the envelope with the prediction inside matched the colors, even though the pills are in the wrong order, that had the right on them. And then you said, you know what? Go ahead and pick out one of those. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You should pick one out. Okay, hold on to it tight. If I crack open all the others, they're empty. But the one that you chose out says, open it up, inside there's a piece of paper, and it says you will choose Thursday or something, you know.
That's quite interesting. I like the idea of to not make it too repetitive. You could just say, I want you to pick any pill from this, you know, bowl of pills and place it just into one day.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
And on the inside it could say which day they've placed it in.
What's cool about that is because it's got writing on the outside and a color on the outside, and it can have something inside it, you can sort of have like three outs. If you don't draw attention to the writing on the outside, you can be like, oh, boom, and the colors bang on. You say, poop, here you go, there's the color. If they got the color wrong, but the writing on the outside matches the pill box on the outside, and then you say, oh, take a closer look at that, and you can see it says the day. And if they're wrong on both of those, then you can just say, go ahead, crack it open and see inside, which would also be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. You could probably build in even more outs. Along the bottom of the medicine box, you could have like a sticker that from the top, it's just white. But then obviously if you were to turn it over, it'd say, in this compartment will be this, in this compartment will be this. You could have like three or four different ways to reveal it in case one of them was wrong or, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. You could go for something visual, like putting a pill on Monday, you shake it, it jumps into Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and goes all the way through. You could shake it and the whole thing fills up with all different colors, or they all become one color. So maybe they put different colors in every day, you shake it, and then all the colors are now the purple ones.
That could be quite cool. The idea of pills multiplying, I think, would be quite a cool visual.
Thematically, pills are used to like to make you hallucinate, not hallucinate, but people can take them to hallucinate and stuff. So maybe you could say, what about a Matrix theme? I'm going to play a game with you, take the red pill or the blue pill, but I've also stolen my grandma's pill cabinet. So it's not going to be as sexy or exciting as the Matrix, but here we go.
It could work. Or other pills could be used in conjunction with some other props as well. Because he didn't necessarily restrict us to just those, did he?
No, that's true.
What would fit in those little containers? Coins?
Tic-tacs. Which is silly. What if you played a game of battleships? You have two of those pill boxes, but the days of the week are written on different, with stick, they're printed with different days of the week on them, in a different order, sorry. So like not Monday to Sunday,
yeah,
but like Tuesday, Friday, it's really hard. Monday. and the stickers are covered over, and then you play like a game of battleships or something.
What traditional magic prop do they remind you of? if any?
The pills, the box, the...
I guess the container, yeah. Is there any kind of traditional magic prop it reminds you of?
I keep thinking those. Remember that slate prop where you could write three things and it would be one ahead and you'd secretly slide one over?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. Or a vanishing box gimmick, fill-in box gimmick. I mean, there's a cool way to do the visual jump over, which would be if you imagine that the tray, so there's seven little compartment trays running across the length of it. If you imagine that compartment tray could, even with the lids down, could secretly slide out to the side. So you would hold, you would have someone put the pill in Monday's and close the lid, but actually that's Sunday's little compartment, that Sunday little box. But because you're holding it and it's like running up the length of your arm hidden, when they close the lid, you can now shake it and slowly use your arm to push it in, you know, and then they'll see it move through every single day of the week. And then when they open every single one, they'll see the compartments are actually stuck. Like, you know, they can't, it couldn't have jumped.
Mm. That'd be cool. Hollow it out and make a sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Re-3D print one. We need somebody to 3D print that gimmick now.
Yeah.
That could be pretty cool, actually.
It could. I've changed my tack completely. I kind of dig this idea now.
What if you did something like you take a load of crushed up powder, paracetamol powder, mm-hmm. or anything like that, and you put it in a compartment, and you take two halves of a pill, you put that in there, you shake like crazy, and it forms like a self-tying shoelace into a pill, you know?
Oh, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could put either half of the pill on like Sunday and then Saturday, and then in the middle is the powder.
Yeah. So it like forms into itself. But those pills, they kind of look like the colors, you know, it could almost look like you take a Tic Tac and an M&M and you fuse them together and they become one pill and you crack it open and inside is the Tic Tac powder and chocolate M&M powder. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe there's a whole world of things. I am leaning more towards like the mentalism side of stuff with it, I think.
Mm. Which is strange because now I'm leaning more towards the visual side of things. It's just because I like the way those pills look.
Yeah, they are visual, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where would you do with a line of like, if you took a line of those pills, like all the little colors, they kind of look like Christmas lights or something.
Mm.
Imagine you had Christmas lights and you say to someone, pick one, and you pluck it off and then it becomes one of those little pills.
Yeah. I do like the idea of them being used in some kind of layered confabulation. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone were to name a card in a day of the week and then you pass them this card a day of the week and a colour, you pass them this container or it's been with them the whole time. They open the day of the week they named and the colour that they named pill is inside. And inside the pill is a torn corner of the card they named.
Wow. Oh. If you had a little pocket calendar. Okay, this is brute force method. So bad method. 7 pocket calendars. With all of the deck written on each card of the deck written uniformly through repeating throughout. So yeah. January the 1st would be Ace of Spades, January the 2nd, 2 of Spades, all the way through the deck and repeat it. Then the second pocket calendar would start on the 2 of Spades or the King of Diamonds.
Yeah.
And then on January the 1st. And basically you just move, you have 7 calendars that depending on what day of the week they name or what day of the week their birthday falls on, there will be a card on every the card that you're going to force on them could be on any singular day of the week, right? So you find out what day someone's birthday is and then you find out what day of the week they were born on. So let's say you were born on a Thursday. Let's say you're born on a Thursday. I find that out using Chronoforce Pro or some other app like that. And then I force you. It doesn't even have to be a card, does it?
No.
It could be a fortune cookie line. maybe every day of the week in the calendar has fortune cookie. Like there's only seven that can be.
Yeah.
And they rotate. So then you say, go ahead, look at this pocket calendar. Look for the day of the week that you were born on the day of the year you were born to. Remember what day of the week it is. Remember what the little piece, the proverb is. And then you say, here's the pills that have been here the entire time. Open it up, take one out, hold on to it, look at all the rest. All the rest of them are like terrible pieces of news. but the one that you picked out is the proverb.
Okay.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, I could go with that.
I don't want to carry seven pocket calendars, though.
No.
You could have one pocket calendar, because, but it'd need to have, but it could be the seven. It could be repeated seven times if it's like ultra thin Bible paper, you know?
Oh, that's true.
So it's like the thickness of a smallish book. And then you say, oh, this has just got the you know, the every month of the year, blah, blah, blah. And then do that. Stuff inside it. Lots of ideas, though. Lots of ideas. Lots, Daniel, I think it's really cool. I want Daniel to let us know which ideas he liked and what ideas he's already pursued with it.
Oh, that's true, because he did send there in a little while ago. Sorry it's taking so long to get around to it, dude.
We are useless. Normally we record these and we're super hungry, so we finish early.
Hungry, hot, or tired.
Yeah, I'm so tired today, dude. This heat's killing me. But on that note, thank you for sending in the video question, and I'm so hyped that you somebody actually did that. Do you have another audio question there?
I do have an audio question. It's interesting that we're getting straight into the listener questions.
I feel like we've neglected our listeners' questions for a while, so it's only fair that we sort of bounce straight into it.
This one has been neglected for quite a long time. So I'm sure he'd be very happy that we're finally getting around to it. Once this is how long it's been. I'm struggling to find it. Here we go.
That's what she said.
Yep. There you go.
So sorry.
You tell me if there's volume.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, dude. Don't worry. You tell me if this volume sounds okay.
Hey, Lloyd. Hey, Jake. Matt Dean here with a big stupid question. Sorry it's taken me this long to send an audio question, but I hope you two are doing well. So this question is a little bit of a long one, but it's related to what Craig Petty and a lot of the magic community has been talking about right now, which is creating presentations that are unique to you and performing effects that are not a carbon copy of published effects. My question is a little less of a question and a bit more of a possible project for both of you, maybe for an episode or something. What I'd like to know is, could you guys, or would you guys, jam around creating a brand new presentation or effect around an idea in Attic Salt by Peter Turner? The book doesn't actually talk method directly, and that's fine. What I'm after here is the process, or getting to see the process behind tailoring an effect that's been marketed, as I'm sure many people, including myself, struggle when it comes to breaking down and sort of customizing a published effect. The idea in question is on pages 222 to 227 of Attic Salt. He talks about a presentation for revealing a name and a private text message from one of the spectators' phones that's been shown to the entire audience. The effect leads into the intermission of the show. I really love the effect, and I love the thinking behind it. The fact that the script perfectly segues into intermission is fantastic, but performing the effect as written feels dirty because it's not mine. Ultimately, the question is, how would you guys go about tailor-making this specific effect to suit your show? The only restriction being that it has to segue into your intermission. Either way, I hope everyone has a creative week, and I've been Matt Dean. I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah,
that's an awesome question.
Wow.
He said, P.S. good luck. I find it really hard to customize Pete's material. I think that's a testament to the strength of Pete's character, because it's very, very hard to do any of his work without his personality shining through in the lines.
Yeah. I also think it shows a lot for how well revered his work is, that because even though it's very much Pete's style, the methods are so good that people just can't help but like support Pete and get his work.
Yeah.
So the question then, or the effect just to clarify, is that you predict or reveal a text from someone. Is that it?
Yeah, and the name? I believe so. The text and who the text is from a spectator.
But it directly leads into the intermission.
Mm-hmm.
So do you take that as you finish the effect here, or after the intermission you reveal it? So you say, like, before we go off, I want you all to text like a loved one and or anyone you want to in your phone book and ask them a crazy question or something which I just could not have an answer to or be able to predict, and we'll come back after the intermission.
Yeah.
Go from there. Or do you see it as the effect is like, and the answer is you were texting Paul McCartney and he said the word guitar to you. Thank you. See you in 20 minutes.
But both of those approaches have merits, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because with one of them, you're giving them a task to do during the intermission and you're getting them excited and riled up because they know that something is going to happen related to what they're doing. And then the other way, it's like, that's just a strong finish, isn't it? But is
I'm leaning towards like doing something which gives them something to chat about during the intermission, but that's a proper mystery. So maybe it's in two parts. Maybe there's two parts. Like it's like you give half of the reveal and they're like, what? And then when you come back on, well, maybe it's something that, you know, I don't want to get too much into this thing, but like maybe you tell them something crazy and then you reveal to them how you're going to do it. For example, there's this thing that I think I've mentioned a few times that if I can say to someone, I 100% could win the lottery tomorrow night if I wanted to. And nobody, and you basically like you go to them into asking you how. And you say, you know, would you bet with me that I absolutely can? And I promise you I can if I wanted to. And it's true, you could if you want to. So, and then maybe you show them something. Well, to answer everyone who's probably wondering, the way that you can win the lottery is by playing every single combination. It's ridiculous. But if you play every combination and you've got the money, then you will win the lottery. Right, it's a bit silly, but it's authentic, right? You really could. I wonder if it's one of those things where you say to someone after the interval, I want all of you to go off and text a loved one or a friend, anybody in your phone book, and after the interval, I am going to be able to reveal what the crazy answer is to the question or something, okay? And then after the interval, or then maybe you say it, and somebody is going to come back with the answer. The duck-billed platypus. Don't ask me how I know this, but one of you will. Or maybe you say, don't ask me how I know this, but just say, I guarantee one of you will. And then that's it. The interval happens and maybe someone goes off and they get the text and they're like, holy cow, how did that happen? And you just reveal that, like, you know, I've been doing this show for 3 years now. The answer is that somebody always you know, maybe you ask the question, name the most random thing you can and send it back to me. That this magician is going to reveal it after the interval.
Yeah.
I know. And just statistically, somebody will. And then obviously you force it, or maybe you could force it, but you just make it feel like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get what you mean. It's interesting because I wasn't too sure about method at first. And then thinking about it, you could very easily adapt it to any number of, you know, fairly well-known routines. You could do it Q&A style.
Yeah.
And okay. Just be one ahead the whole time. Not necessarily on the phone, but you could say, okay, send a text message to a loved one. And then if you're comfortable, if you're one of the people in the crowd who's comfortable with writing it down, also write down their name and what you sent them on a piece of paper and come put it in the fishbowl at the front of the stage. And you could just do a traditional kind of Q&A method.
I'm going a completely different direction.
Yeah.
Which could be, as the show is beginning, you say, any of you that is comfortable or you may have seen out in the lobby, you could, if you were happy to do so, put your phone number down and other people to potentially be able to see that phone number.
Mm.
So then you say, right, the interval's about to start. Whilst you're all going off buying your drinks and texting people and catching up on your notifications, everyone, all of you will have noticed or have been asked, were you happy to share your phone number? Every one of you that said yes, those numbers are up on screen right now. And you blast up on the screen, maybe, 70 phone numbers. I said, these phone numbers are people, give a shout out if you can see your number on the screen. Yeah, woo. These people are happy for you to text them. They're happy for you to interact. Well, yeah, say text them, right? So these people are happy for you to text them. I want all of you to, if you want to get involved, pick a number off the screen, write it into your phone book right now, and text that number asking them something. I don't know what it would be, right? But it's obviously going to be something that's going to be revealed. And after the interval, I'll see you in 20 minutes. So maybe you post something very interesting to them. I don't know, like, what's the name? Text this person. Ask them, what's the name of the first person they kissed? I'll see you all in 20 minutes. So then after the interval comes back, I say, thank you, everyone who put their phone number up on screen, stand up. Everyone who received a text, stay standing. If you didn't receive a text, sit down. And everyone who sent a text, please, and received an answer, make your way to the side of the stage. All right. So then you have a bunch of people. Then you, as the magician, goes through. Maybe you toss out something so they can catch it at random, whoever's standing. And you end up with like five people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can say, look, you text someone and you ask them who the first person they kissed was, right? Do you know who it was that you text? Because there's a sea of maybe 30 people standing right now, or 40 people standing right now. No. Okay, great. We're going to try to play a game to see if you can use your intuition to see from the name that they text you, who you text without calling the number and making the phone go off. And then maybe you just do something like a game of, now you've got, like, because these 30 people, you play a game of guess who, and they have to guess who, and they say, right, so the person's got the phone on stage, and they said the first name of the person they kissed is called Sally. You say, okay, right, so this person, do you think they're male or female? You say, I think they're female. Oh, okay, right, all the men sit down. The person texts you this, do you think they are over 50 or under 50? All right, sit down. Okay. Do you think they have blonde hair, brown hair, red hair? And you go through all this, and eventually the last person, they described somebody completely at random, that they've texted a number completely at random, they've named this name, and then they left one person. You say, the last person standing, could you tell everybody out loud the name of the first person that you kissed? And they say, Sally. And then that's the effect. Or something. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that, man. That would be quite a fun one. I like the fact that you could just mix a bunch of methods in as well. And you could have some really strong moments based around it. Even just to start it off, before you get into any of those kind of things, you could just do some fishing and very easily get like five people.
Yeah.
It's like, over this side of the audience, there's about three or four of you texted asking if the kids were okay. Which one of you texted a partner? The name begins with J. Yeah, thought so.
Also, you saying that, it could be something like, you do some, when she says, you could go, right, there's three people with brown hair and two people with red hair left standing. What are you going to choose, red or browns? Brunettes or redheads? And she says, redheads. You say, okay, three brunettes, sit down. And then you can have a confab at the end that says there would be three brunettes left standing.
Yeah.
So you can actually reveal the answers to the questions. Dude, there's got to be a cool method it seems like there's a really kind of simple method, because one of the things you could do is everyone who puts their number down gets a pre-sent, because to put those numbers on screen, you've got to interpret them, right, or take them. So mm-hmm. you could say, hey, thanks for getting involved in tonight's show. Later on, we're going to ask you a question. Could you answer the question and describe yourself? I don't think, okay, this is a terrible method, right? But the person on stage is going to have a different thing happen to them. So they say, first person I kiss is called Sally. I have red hair. I'm a woman, over 50. I wear glasses, right? So she kind of like knows. So now you just need to create an effect for the person who described themselves and for the person who's about to read out, who play a guess. Or you could do something completely different. You could do something completely different. Where go on.
But, you know, it depends what size show you're putting on as well. Because if you are someone like, you know, Darren Brown and Andy Nyman who are coming up with a show, then you can quite easily have this performance that, you know, this performance is being filmed for use on a later date. There's two people up in the wings just zooming in on phones. That's given to two of the assistants. And, you know, it would be very, very easy.
Yeah, true. It could be that the person that's left, with the person left standing is in on it. It's a Confederate, yeah. right? And that every number on screen is a number that goes nowhere else, but they do flash up. Say the okay. Everyone's number shows up on screen who wanted to participate.
Yeah.
And then there's one number which goes directly to the Confederate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people are randomly getting texts and sending texts, but one, hopefully, statistically, maybe like the second number down at least, goes to the Confederate who will text somebody back saying, Sally.
Yeah.
Right. And then whoever, you know, you do something to recognize who that person is. Maybe you say, oh, great, thanks. Where you say, I don't know, but that wouldn't be too difficult to do. No. So now you have somebody. So now you know what the conversation is and who the person is on both ends of the conversation, or who the people are on both ends of the conversation. So you need to get one of them on stage, the random spectator up on stage. And all you need to do now is get everyone to sit down except for the Confederate.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you could just do it with, instead of doing, there could be something unique about the Confederate, what they're wearing.
Yeah.
Which nobody else has got. Colored hair, like rainbow hair or something. And you do, you know, you have loads of coins, drop all the coins on the table, take all the heads up coins, place them to the side. Keep doing this until you're left with, you know, like tails, or every time you get rid of all the heads, keep going. One coin's double header.
Yeah.
It could be something along those lines where these are all guess who cards, you know, or descriptive part. I don't know, something like that. But then there's a way of getting just one person left or getting rid of everyone.
Yeah. I think you'd be best, you mix your methods, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of it'll be equivocate directly with the other person who's on the stage. You know,
yeah.
What would you prefer? Some of it would be already restricted. I mean, you could have like 80% of the numbers on screen be women, and then a couple and your Confederate be male.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, if you were to ask, you can wipe out like a larger percentage of the audience than if you were being fair.
Yeah. The final, say you're down to two people.
Mm-hmm.
What if the magician asks? So the magician's going to ask the questions, obviously. So he's kind of in control, kind of like an Equivoque routine for the trick that can't be explained. You're kind of freestyling it along.
Yeah.
But every question, you know, the system is that geared to be left with like one or two people. And then the final question will be, okay, last time there's two people left in the audience. Let's just say, for example, take a male and a female. This is the most important part of the show. Who are you going to pick right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say the male, you say, please sit down.
Yeah.
If they say the female, which would, whereas everybody else has sat down so far, say, are you sure? Yes, please come and join us up on stage. So there's a reason for the male to be left. And by the way, you can take a seat now. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. You could easily do that. Yeah. I think you mix it up, don't you? You can't just keep hitting the same thing to eliminate people each time.
Yeah. Yeah, and also you could just kind of, if sort of Sally is sat in the Confederate is sat in like a fairly prominent position within the audience.
Mm.
You could kind of like say, look, cast your eyes over the audience. Does anyone particularly stand out to you right now? If they say that person, the one you need, great, that's your effect done.
Yeah.
Any reason why? Okay, cool. Ask everyone else to sit down and then, you know, there's gonna be contingency plans at the same time for if they mess up, you know, and so on. But that's quite cool, right? So basically, as you enter the auditorium or the theater, decide if you want to be involved and if you want your number to be shared on screen. You do that. All right, guys, during the interval, here are a bunch of numbers. These are real people sitting in the audience all around you. It's, you know, it could even be you. Anyone who wants to be involved in this, potentially come up on stage later on, text one of these numbers, anyone that you want, and ask them a personal question. And hopefully you get a reply. If not, they're going to catfish you, say something funny. I'll see you in 20 minutes. And then there'll be so much scope for fun there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, who sent a dick pic? You know?
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to work on, isn't there? There's just a load of different ways you could go with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's partly why it's so fun, but also why it's a little bit overwhelming.
Yes.
Sometimes when you approach, you know, like a creative challenge like this, I find it really hard to get on track and like start rolling with an idea until it sticks properly.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love just picking a million different ideas and going through them, sometimes I need to be in love with a presentation or a method first before I can stay on the track. You know, to have it so that, I mean, there's still a bit of dickery involved, but you know, tomfoolery, but you know, to have it so that it was an effect for both participants. Yeah. You could have, say there's 10 numbers that pop up on screen. You could have it, instead of one of them being a Confederate, 9 of them being a Confederate, and there's one real person. So you're equivocating down to the one real person.
Oh wow.
You know what I mean? I don't fully know what the effect of the presentation is, but that's just as easy, right?
Yeah, that is just as easy. Because that person would be fully sold on it. But then you have to have 9 people with you every night, yeah. Which taking up 9, if you're making money off the tickets, taking up 9 sales, but that's good. What else? I mean, the effect that Matthew's asking about is from the thing, the effect described in Attic Salt, which is you just reveal someone's text and who it's from and lead into an intermission. It kind of makes you just want to pull someone up on, like, forgetting method for the moment, but like to pull someone up on stage, and like hands up here, who sends texts that they would not want their boss to read or be read to their colleagues and friends and family. Somebody who does have embarrassing messages on their phone, but right now, in this moment, would be okay for me to read one of them out loud. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you have to get those permissions first. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's the troublemaker, the attention, like the star that wants to be there, bring them up on stage. And yeah, you could just say, okay, the last message you sent was you with a piece of fruit in a questionable position. See you in 20 minutes. I love the whole thing of leaving them with a mystery to discuss over the interval, though.
Yeah.
And I think revealing the text is cool, but it's not the same effect for everyone else.
No.
No, he didn't read my text.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got to be something where they can't just go. It's got to be something where they go, where they can really understand that it happened, as opposed to just, sorry, let me go again. It has to be something that sort of affects everyone, I feel, in so much that they don't just go, oh, it's a stooge.
Mm.
You know? Something that kind of has to like affect the whole audience and be a mystery. Mm. Reveal the last text of everybody in the front row.
Yeah. How would you affect everyone? Besides just emotionally affecting everyone. If you were to say, this is just bull, like freewheeling somewhere. But you could say, this routine isn't going to go the way that I initially planned it to go, purely because I'm picking up on something that I am not too fond of. Someone over in this side of the audience actually got a text back that wasn't what they were expecting. A little bit upsetting, maybe. And I don't know where I'm going with this. This is just like fishing. But if someone was to like, if you asked someone to, in the preamble, you could say, text a loved one, ask someone this, if there's someone that you've had a crush on for years, shoot your shot with them. And you could just kind of hope that someone got a response they didn't like back.
Oh, that's cool. Well, they didn't like.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just trying to think of some way where you could have the audience invested in one person's text, if you get what I mean.
Do you remember that game you used to play as kids where you would write down a story on a piece of, you'd write down one sentence on or one line on a piece of paper and you'd fold it up and pass it on to your friend?
Yeah.
And eventually the piece of paper would be folded up like 10 times. You'd unroll it and you'd read the whole crazy story. So you'd say, yesterday I went to the park and I found a, you fold it up, and you hand it to your friend, you say, right, you continue the story, but don't tell me the rest. You know, fold it up. And then you unroll it and it's just this crazy like Mad Lib type story. What if you say, have you seen those comedians that bring someone up on stage and they say, I'm going to text somebody from your phone book? Yeah. And then they say, like, was it the one that Jimmy Carr sent from? So Jimmy Carr's a UK comedian, and he took I think he took another celebrity's phone, or he took someone's phone from the audience, and he texted their dad saying, in the bath, thinking of you.
Yeah.
Like, really embarrassing, but it's one of those things that everyone can relate to because it's so embarrassing. And you'd hate to have it happen. What if you say, right, we're going to play something like this. Somebody come up on stage, hand you your phone, and the audience, a couple of people in the audience, we're going to throw out some footballs. Whoever catches one, everyone that catches one, we're going to add to this crazy story. So, okay, welcome up on stage. You're going to bring up your boss's phone number, and we're going to make up an excuse about why you're not coming into work on Monday. The cool thing is, if your boss buys it, you've got a day off on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, right? It's a bit of something on the line, and you have to be like someone who's a boss that's not going to fire you.
Hmm.
So you say, okay, cool. So, right, someone's up on stage, you bring up their phone, the magician or anyone is going to type on phone. Hey, I'm really sorry. I can't make it to work on Monday because I was wearing, someone says, what were they wearing? Roller skates. Okay, I was wearing roller skates and I was skating down the street when I fell over a, someone else chooses, dog. Okay, fell over a dog. When I fell over a dog, I hit my head and started hallucinating and seeing. So you make so basically the whole audience is creating this really crazy Mad Lib of this excuse about why they can't go to work or why they can't hand in their homework or something like that, right? And eventually you hit send and you say, see you all in 20 minutes to find out if Dave has a day off on Monday, right?
Or if he's looking for a new job.
Yeah, or if he's looking for a new job. So it's quite fun. It gives the audience a reason to come back. There's a hook to it. Everyone's been involved. It's cool. And I guess the reveal would be that, the whole confab, all the things that everybody chose in the audience to be sent as a text, including the reply that Dave's going to get, maybe that is like hidden in the poster for the show outside the show before they ever began.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you say, you know, so, you know, maybe when everyone's back in the auditorium and Dave's received a text or something, you actually have printed posters ready to go, or the words are forced or something like that. You know what I mean?
That's fun. That's very Darren Brown.
Could be kind of cool, couldn't it? Yeah, it's very Darren. I just like the whole idea of Mad Lib in an excuse to get. I remember there was I can't remember if this is a school story or if I heard it somewhere else. I'm certain it was my biology teacher that told everyone this. And I'm sure it is, but I'm so old. I remember they said that a kid came into school, I'm sure it was my biology teacher, and didn't do the homework because the squirrels had eaten the homework. And sure enough, they give him detention. They got in loads of trouble. The parent came into school and had a photograph. This was a photo photograph before phones, and showed the teacher that his bedroom by a tree, and squirrels came in and genuinely chewed up his homework. Jeez. And they were really sorry, but he actually genuinely didn't do the homework because of that reason. And there's something about that, like a real excuse. Like those craziest excuses that end up being true.
Yeah.
Like if I was going to lie, I would have made a better lie, miss or sir.
You know? You just have someone shit hot at Photoshop in the intermission. Like,
oh, just use AI.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true.
Bring image generator.
Your favorite.
But yeah, anyway, Matthew, sorry it's taken us a while to ask have the question asked. I hope the answer was satisfactory, though, and it's given something, hopefully more. Hopefully it's not as hopefully not in a worse place because the answer we gave.
I really hope it isn't, because that would just be an awful sign.
I just love this idea of like the mystery continuing throughout the interval, but like, you know, the water cooler moment where everyone's like, how did that? It's got to have something that makes everyone go, how did he do that? Like, how? Yeah. Got to be something that affects the entire audience. I mean, getting them involved is cool to set up a premise, but it's got to be something that like affects them all. I don't like the idea of everyone's phone going off at the same time, or everyone finding the Wi-Fi that says the same thing. And
no,
you know, it's a bit, well, the answers are obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a mystery really. It's more of a, wow, they went through that much effort.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want it to be anything where you could just take 2 minutes and go, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
dead air.
Yeah, dead air. We'll come back to it. But I think that's some cool ideas for now, cool suggestions for now.
Depending
on scale as well. But I like dead air. I'm going to try and think on it more. Me and you all probably had a brainstorming over the week.
Oh, God, probably. I think in the spirit of Matthew Dean's question, we're having an intermission from the reader's questions very, very briefly. Because those two questions were actually quite pertinent to conversations lately. Because we've been talking about presentation and stuff quite a lot over the past week or so. Because I've managed to convert you.
I can't believe. I feel like, yeah, this is true. Tell everyone how you've converted me.
I don't know.
It's not just because you're bare-chested right now.
Lloyd's a man of the billets now. He's a billet bandit.
I'm a filthy billet snuggler.
But yeah, you've kind of, I don't know, we've been a little bit on fire the past week.
Yes.
Off air. It's been crazy, hasn't it? So many ideas.
I've never been into billet work. For anyone that's listening, that's found this podcast through like my visual magic channel, billet work is when you have somebody write down on a piece of billet or a piece of blank paper, a blank business card, anything like that shape, blank playing card, write down a word and keep it hidden from the magician, the mentalist even, and the mentalist then reveals that word. And there's over a century worth of work on this by the best brains in all of mentalism and magic. But it's something that's never really appealed to me until I met Jake.
Sorry.
And Dude, the powerful stuff. Basically, I mean, in a nutshell, the ideal thing is that you somehow peek what's written on that billet as fast as possible, or as unknowingly as possible in the eyes of the participant or the mind of the participant. And then you get creative with amazing ways to reveal this information.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like two sides to the coin, isn't it? There's the first side, which is the cool methods mm-hmm. that are convincing to peek the info. And the more interesting side to me is the cool ways you can reveal this information.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like if we were to eliminate billets, 70% of my repertoire will be out the window. And looking in from the outside, it might not look like 70% of my repertoire is billet work, but that's because it's designed not to look like billet work, because it focuses on strange, bizarre props, or, you know, a story that's told. Like, the billets don't come into it. Hopefully they're just forgotten. And when someone retells the effect, they don't remember writing anything down. Or if they do, it was just a nothing burger.
Yeah, or it's justified to the extent of, you know, in very, I'm not very well read in billet work. So if there's anything that I stumble upon that's been done before, it's not because I've read it. It's just because I'm just on, like, just flowing with, you know, to come up with new stuff or trying to. But one of a classic use of, or reasoning for writing something down, is so that they don't change their mind or forget, or you prove that what they said is what they wrote, what you revealed is what they wrote down. So when you can get away with comfortably having a reason for them to write it down, it becomes a lot easier to convince yourself to perform something like that. And then it's just about, working out cool ways of when to peak or how to peak, and how basic bit you're willing to go with the peak. Like, what's your go-to peak currently?
I think I said it last episode, and I'm sure that there were many head shakes and sighs of disapproval, but a wallet peak, dude. A wallet peak, or just a center tear, or I keep it as basic as can be. I like, there are peaks that I like. I mean, even the very first peak that I say I invented, but there's a thousand different variants of it, is having, this was when I was like 10, 11 or something, having someone write something down on a playing card. It's put back on the top of the pile, and I say to them, in a moment, I want you to go like this and cover it. Cover the billets in your hand, well, the playing cards, hold them in your hand, blah, blah, blah. And then whilst I'm saying this, I slide that over it and hold the pile.
Oh, and so, cool.
And that was like the very first kind of thing that I got into, was playing around like in that way, so that there was a way I could see it. And I don't know, it was, what do I use most often? A double lift as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, which is a very Pete Turner kind of appropriated method.
Do you ever do the acidus novus?
Yeah, I am not the biggest fan, purely because I don't like if you there's ways to restrict where someone will write in the billet. And I think, you know, a circle drawn on a billet is okay. I think a line drawn on a billet is okay. I just think I can't go into it too much, really, because it is a published method. But the way that you have someone write at a certain place, I just feel like it needs a little bit more justification. And the moment you get into justifying something too hard is when people will start looking at it and going, well, why is he so into it? So I have used it, and I will use it every now and again, but it's just, it's not my go-to. But I know that there are people who use it and they are gods with it.
I'm going to try one out on air that I mentioned to you that I haven't even tested yet. Oh, I'm going to show the method on air at least.
Oh, sweet.
Tested yet. But I think I told you about it, which would be, it'd be this, because I'm like a mechanical creator, you know, I like this sort of stuff. So let me just, get it set up a little bit. Hopefully I don't screw it up.
No. Whilst you're setting that up, I very quickly will say that the impetus for you kind of being a little bit of a fire lit under your ass was Lewis Lavelle's latest release with Mindhouse.
Oh, mate. Everyone needs to watch it.
Storyteller. It's superb.
It's, yeah, everyone needs to go and buy it immediately. But this, let me show you this thing. So somebody, right, so one thing I was thinking, right, and forget how bad I am at mentalism, but you'd have somebody write something down on a piece of paper or billet, and you ask them, can you fold it up, please? And I want you to place it on the table, and we're going to do this. So they fold it up, they place it on the table, and you say, what I want you to do, you can all kind of guess what's going to happen next. And so I say, I'll place it on the table, and I want you to cover it with your phone like this so that I can't get to it, because we're going to try and transmit something in a second. So they cover it with their phone. And then you say, what I want you to do now is call my phone from your phone. I'm going to try and see if you can transmit to me what it is you're thinking. And what I've done is switch those billets out. And this is a terrible idea, right? Just, it's just the starting block. So I got some double stick tape on the back of my phone. People can't see at home, I'm realizing, on Spotify and Apple. But I mimic, or I actually show them that I'm going to cover the billet with my phone momentarily. And all I'm going to do is stick their billet to the double stick tape on the back of my phone as I flick the an X billet, like a blank billet, into place, right? So then the reasoning for that is I say I'm going to have them ring me from their phone. So there's a reason for it to be in play, as opposed, you could just use your wallet. You could say, cover it with your wallet like this for a second, and you use yours to demonstrate.
Yeah.
And then under the table, you can steal that off. But basically, yeah, I'm just holding an X billet or replacement billet underneath, folded in the same position, in the same orientation. I said, I just want you to cover up the billet just like this with your phone. Don't flash it underneath. And then, yeah, just that. Or your wallet or something along those lines. It could even be like this. So let me do that again. Cover it. Cover it with your phone, but don't let me get to it or see it. Now I've stolen it. Now I can place this under the table. And as I'm talking, get the peek, unfold it and get the peek. Kind of all right, like kind of a fun starting point, not very practical, but what I like about it is that from their point of view, there's no way
yeah.
you peeked it, because it's yeah. still, they folded it, it's still there, it's under their phone, and they forget that you even like, well, to them, you didn't touch the phone.
Mm.
Now I've got to peel off this double stick tape with a blade.
Yeah, you sent me a few videos of methods that you were playing with, and purely because I don't know how long you are planning on working on these things, I won't mention anything specifically, but there were some really cool methods that were very mechanically minded or magician minded, which is always fun. I think whenever there's someone who's kind of introduced to something that they get excited about, seeing their approach and being able to see the DNA of their past releases and things in their approach to a completely different style is always fun.
That's what I've been so excited about, is because it's kind of like, it's in the realm that interests me, but it's something that I've never really explored. So it's a little bit of a blue ocean personally for myself to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the stuff you sent me was great.
Thanks, man. Well, the problem is I don't really know if it's been done before. I know there's a certain amount of like peak work out there in the world. I have released a peak on my channel, which is the Cherries peak, you know, the hollowed out deck.
Great.
That goes clear, which is kind of fun, but then it'd be better if it was built into something like a wallet, not like one of the, you know, something, I don't know, something better than the card box, but not also not a wallet either.
Yeah, yeah.
Something, and not just into a phone, I don't know, yeah. something.
I've only tested it out in the real world once, but I've been having fun playing with it and making it. I think I've shown you, it's a small little wallet that I use to hold billets or business cards. And then when I need to, there's a part of it that can slide across, and there's a shiner there. So as I'm putting a card back into the wallet, I can tilt it upwards and get a
that's
peek.
Cool.
And
that's the one thing I don't like. I do have certain parameters of I'm not a fan of the magician ever touching the billet.
Right.
And I don't do this stuff. I don't perform billet work, so I'm not really qualified to have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the spectator would go, like, the moment you touch it, not all, But some spectators might be like, even if it would look like very much that you didn't look at it, in their head, they're like, ah, the moment, you know, the moment like that's given over, like that physical object is given to you,
mm-hmm.
it's like, they're like, ah, is that okay? He's got me.
I disagree, but in a non-confrontational manner. Because,
by the way, I hope you disagree, because I do want to be challenged on this. And like, I am willing to have my mind changed on this.
Yeah, because I've seen you perform tricks where you take a playing card back and put it into a deck, and it's the same thing for me. But also, you know that, like, say 5% of the audience when you're performing, say there's 5% of people who are gonna think something shifty is going on.
Yeah,
they're the same type of people who are gonna ruin. Not ruin, but they're going to be a bit funny about any kind of method.
Very good point.
You know, the type of person who, when you ask them to look at a card and they go like this, and they won't show you anything at all, and there's no, they have any effort to the chest and they crumple up your good cards. But that type of person is always going to be that way inclined anyway. So that's my
very true. That's very, very, no, it's a really, really good point. Point that you say that those people are always going to guess. That is a good point. I mean, the reason I created Cognito was because it ticked off so many particular like boxes in my head of, well, if they can't say you did this, they can't say you did that, they can't say you did that. But there's also restrictions with Cognito in that they can, you know, like they can't think of anything freely.
Yeah.
You can give them parameters to think of something within. Like, think of any card, think of any star sign, think of any drawing, think of anything, you know. But they can't really, I couldn't say to them, think of any name in the world. Or think of your grandmother's full name. I couldn't say that to somebody using Cognito. So there are applications where Cognito outshines Bill at Work.
Yeah.
Where you can say, like, if, for example, you want to know what... Like one of the ones we've been looking at this week is the draw and dupe. The drawing someone's even thinking of drawing, then there's a lot of ways that you can, when you're finished, there's no backtracking it for him. But if you want somebody to truly draw like a random doodle, it can't do that. And that's where billet work then comes into its own. And it's like, I feel like I need to learn it. Like, you know, I need to perform it.
Yeah, the idea you had for Cognito with a draw and dupe was really fun.
I've taken that really far now. I think I need to show it to you because I think like it'll melt your brain. Because they won't be able to figure out anything.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I wish in these episodes we could talk about some of the other stuff we were talking about, like the insane stuff.
One of the things should we talk about like one or two other things just briefly, because it's coming to the 45 minute mark now, but you were very passionate about just creating experiences for them in the reveal, right?
Yeah.
And one of the ones you told me was that you like to challenge people and say to them, how would you like me to reveal this information? Right?
Oh, it's so much fun in a beer garden.
So a lot of people will connect the dots for you, as in if they're not the 5% of people that are going to try and figure out the method, and they are sold on the fact that you don't know what they're thinking and they're kind of into like these sorts of things and they're willing to play or go with it, then they will start. If you had tea leaves in a cup and you swirled them around and you start to slowly point out the initials that they're thinking of, they will make themselves see the initials, even if they're not fully formed in there. They will just sort of buy into it. And when people are willing to, it's almost like a chat, what's called it's called the Bader-Meinhof principle.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You know, if you buy a yellow car, suddenly you see everybody driving yellow cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a very particular type of, I don't know, lighter than, and you've never seen them before, suddenly you start noticing them everywhere. It's a phenomena, it's a real thing, and because of that you can use it to your advantage when it comes to things like reveals. So one of the ways tell the people at home some of the interesting ways people have challenged you to reveal things or methods.
So usually when you get into it, I've found that probably the majority of people will answer with whatever way you want, which is the most boring response. So to kind of help them along, I will list a couple. And I've been experimenting lately with going like super obscure scrying and divination methods, and then, you know, palmistry and tarot, and, or, you know, throwing dice into a sink and whatever. But I like giving them a kind of a few options that they can fall back on, but also saying to them, like, what is it that you want to see? Because people will come up with interesting things, especially if they're a bit more, I don't know, romantically minded. If you're good at spotting the layman that will appreciate the stuff that you are performing, then very often those, you know, the perfect participant will come up with something really cool. I remember having a woman in a beer garden saying that she wanted me to divine the name of the person she was thinking of through bird song and the sound of the birds in the trees. So we got to have a nice little moment sitting and listening. It was quite quiet.
That's beautiful, to reveal it through bird song.
Mm. But all of that stuff, man, it's... I was talking to you the other day. I have a fairly big book on divination, and it's all different methods of divination that have traditionally been used from thousands and thousands of years ago. And there's, you know, there's some cool ass stuff, man.
Do you know, you said something there that made me go off on a complete tangent, completely away from what we were talking about. But it was when you said you find the person who's like who's a bit of a romantic that enjoys this sort of thing and would buy into
it. Yeah.
And it makes me think, you know, when you go back, and this is completely away from all of this, but on that tangent again, when you said that 5% of people will try and like spoil it or try and work it out. Do you know when, like, the movie industry has a good film, they'll tend to double down and make the sequel?
Oh, yeah. Like a Deep Impact in Armageddon.
Titanic, I think, when they did that. Or Jaws. Jaws has, like, 5 films, I think.
See, right. I thought you meant, like, the twin movies when something does well. Another one will come out at the same time.
That's an interesting thing to talk about another time, why they do those. Have you ever read up about it?
A little bit, yeah.
Just sort of market research, and it says, like, in 5 years' time, everyone's going to be interested in shark films again. Yeah. So they just start making shark films for 5 years. Anyway, but there's a quote, right? Not a quote, but it's like not a stoic sort of quote, but like a way of living your life, a bit of a life pro tip, which is that not everyone is going to like you. You can't make everybody like you. And no matter what you do, there are some people in the world that are never going to like you. You could be a saint, and you will have people hate you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, depending on what, if you're not gigging, instead of trying to like, if you've got someone that's not into it, you can see they're not into it. Just why, like, I think I've done this in the past, you know, when I was much, much younger, but instead of trying to convert those people and trying to impress those people, that you're like, nah, don't care, not into it, whatever. Okay, well, I'll catch you out. Find the people that love it and double down with them. It's going to make you a lot happier. It's going to make them a lot happier. And you're not wasting your time. I think so many magicians, and I've seen it, like, have this complex about trying to win over the crowd or the people that are there. Like, oh yeah, even the skeptic was impressed. And
yeah. Yeah.
Like, stop.
Which is fun sometimes. There's merit to it.
Yeah, true.
But I do like playing to someone who is going to just be absolutely be in love with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you wouldn't do a concert if all the crowd were against you.
Yeah. I love it when you find someone and you mention something and you can see their eyes light up because they're digging it so much. This is one of my favorite things in the world. And there are ways to coax people into being a little bit more creative with their responses and their challenges. I found that instead of saying, oh, there are different ways that people will read the information stored in someone's head. There's direct mind reading, there's palm, tarot, there's whatever. If you instead make it a little bit more, if you emphasize the fact that these are challenges people have given you, and you said, you know, I remember a couple of weeks back, there was a woman who told me she wanted me to divine her star sign by staring into a glass of wine. There was a guy, you know, 7 years ago, there was this guy, and I told him his fate by looking at the way a wooden chair splintered on his back in a bar fight. There's like if you make it a little bit more creative and say to them, so, you know, if you were to come up with a way right now and like challenge them back, if you were to come up with a way right now, what would it be? So that I can prove to you, you already got the peak 5 minutes ago, but you know.
Oh yeah. Do you have any war stories or any hero stories of people doing that apart from like the bird one? Or well, what did you do in the bird situation actually?
Yeah, we sat down on the grass and held hands. It was really nice.
No, but I mean, like, how did you reveal that information from that point?
It was pretty basic. Therein lies the problem with coming up with certain things on the spot, because sometimes you don't really give it enough of a moment to shine. So with that one, I wish I'd taken it a little bit slower, because it was just I don't really believe that I can hear what the birds are saying to me, but there is an echo in the way that they sing that's beautiful. There isn't an E in the name, is there? No, it's an A, and it comes after the M. Yeah, it wasn't really, there was no false method. And finding a false method is always good, because otherwise it is just pure presentation. Actually convincing someone that there is a method to the presentation is a bit of an art form, I think. Well, I mean, but what way, if you were to perform that and you had a little bit of time and it was in the morning and someone had asked you to read their mind through bird song, how would you justify that you are doing it right now instead of just, there's an A in the name, there's a B in the name?
I would, well, actually, can you hear the birds now?
No.
But there are birds outside. I'm going to, let me open the window for a second.
Okay.
Maybe I've got voice isolation mode on. Let me open up my window. All right, if I go quiet for a second, can you hear any birds?
Tweet, 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 tweet.
No, can you actually hear it though?
No, I can't.
Let me change my mic over to the Mac mic. Can you hear that?
I feel like I should play along. Yes, Mr. Magician, I can hear it.
Don't play along. Audio setting. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, basically, there's some birds outside. They're going cheep, 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 cheep. So maybe I would start timing the tweets. So I'd say, take out your phone. I mean, you could use like a magic app like Chronoforce Pro. You could just start timing them. And if you know like the first letter of their word, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, well, give me a word that you're thinking of.
Give it to you?
Oh, I can't. I need to change my audio output now. Speaker Pro. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. What word was it?
Keyboard.
Keyboard. So what's K in the alphabet? Is it ninth? JKL. So it's 11th, right? K is 11th in the alphabet. So you could time it and figure out, you could say, look, every significant tweet, I'm going to press start and stop, right? And with the start and stop button on a timer or the stopwatch even, you can press the lap button. So maybe I'd press start like this. And for everyone at home, I'm now going to fill time for 6 more seconds, I say, and I'm gonna hit the lap button now. But the cool thing is, the next time you lap, it can be different times, and maybe one in the middle would be the 11 second one, right? But now I have 5 lap times on here, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and one of them is 4 seconds, one is zero, another one's zero, another one's three, another one's 11. But basically, I would end up saying I'd have 5 lap times on there. I know you're thinking of K. And maybe I would say to you, look, maybe I'll do a patio force on the spectator out of the lap time. So I'd say, look, we've recorded the bird songs in a way. And now what I want you to do is out of the 5 lap times, I'll choose 3, you get rid of 2. And now you choose 3 and I'll choose. And now you choose 2, I'll get rid of 2. And then we bounce it back and forth until we're left with the 11 second lap time. Mm. I was like, perfect. Is that fair? Like, we literally recorded the birds chirping. Then you chose, we chose between us, but ultimately you made the final choice in which tweet we use. This is a real tweet from out there in the ether. That's the number 11. I want you to find what number is 11th in the alphabet. What letter is the 11th letter in the alphabet? And they say K. And I'd say that's okay, K. By chance, is the word that you're thinking of, does it begin with a K? And then they'd probably be like, holy guacamole. Which, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine because I'm not the spectator, but I guess that would probably be a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, I would think so. That realization.
Yeah, that realization would probably be pretty wild. I mean, if it was a four-letter word or a five one, so it wasn't too long and boring, Chronoforce Pro, I know it sounds like I'm plugging it, but Chronoforce Pro could actually, every lap or every reset second, could actually force the exact letter or time point in the alphabet that you need to be, which then you could say, we'll work out what those letters are in the alphabet. We just recorded those bird tweets, and then chaos ensues. But that would actually be pretty cool. So that's probably, I'm just thinking on the spot, so I don't really know, but that's kind of one way I could go with it.
I really like that, actually. I like, I like that it's super different from anywhere where I would go.
It's because I've got this like boring analytical brain. It's like, let's use maths and numbers all the time.
No, not at all, dude. It's just different. It's fun. That's why I always like it when we get on a bit of a mad one, like sending voice notes back and forth, because it is super, super different, mixing all that shit, man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I love jamming with you so much, because it's almost like when if we're going on an adventure, you might choose the river, the rocky rapids to go down, and I might choose like the cave to climb through, and either way, we're going to end up like at the same sort of kind of, we're heading the same direction, but we've got two very interesting, exciting paths to take. And I think that's why it's always so fun jamming with you, man.
Same to you, dude.
I never would have thought of bird tweets, bird singing to reveal.
Neither would I. I stole it from her. And now I'm going to keep it in my repertoire.
I wonder if you could do something different with it, right? Which is like, so... the word you're thinking of is keyboard. Let's say in this example, it's keyboard.
Yeah.
And then you tell me to reveal it using bird tweets. Then there's a connection there to Twitter and type in. Yeah.
That's true. You could look for impromptu on the fly connections for anything.
Yeah, you could say, okay, bird tweets. How am I going to do this? So you're thinking of a word and you want me to reveal it with a tweet. Tweets. I'm getting a tweet. Can I send this to you? I need to type you a message. I need to do this. I would do this by typing to you. You're asking me to, the word is keyboard, you know, and then just kind of like, so like, yeah, you kind of find it like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon style.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes those moments are really fun and sometimes it's genuinely an accident. If someone writes it, what's the name for a word where it can be a different word, but it's the same. Is it like a homonym?
Homonym, I think, yeah.
Like stuff like that. You know, if someone has a, they've written a word, but they're thinking of something else entirely, and I'm divining the wrong definition of this word. I've had that happen before, and they still love it.
I think it can be even stronger.
Yeah, it's like what we were talking about last time, because it's the information that isn't written down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's everything outside of it, which they don't think you can get to.
Hmm. Which is almost counterintuitive to the way I think I would look at it, because I'd think, well, if you've got a different definition, then you're not picking up on anything. You've just seen the word and read it wrong. But it doesn't matter. Sometimes it seems like people just don't really think that way.
Yeah, that's true. It made me think back to what we were talking about, where it's hard for people to think of a way to define something.
Yeah.
So what we were saying on the weekend, was it the weekend we were talking about, saying that like have some surefire methods that feel like you're, oh, I'm improvising.
Yeah.
But actually it's because people are only ever going to choose a couple of different things. It's kind of like a De Ortiz. Danny De Ortiz talks about expectations. So if you take a playing card and you rip it up and you say to somebody, right, if I could do magic, if you could do magic, what should I do to this card right now? Yeah. Everyone says, put it back together. And you're like, oh, okay. Okay, I was gonna try and make it burst into flames or disappear, but all right, how about I put this back together now? But in your mind, like, that's exactly what you've got planned.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of thing. If you say, right, tell me some, think about some crazy ways that I could make it up so I don't even know where you're gonna go, but, like, you know, divine it. And I would love it if more people would say birds tweeting. Yeah. But then I would be like, oh, that's a crazy one. Okay, let me, it's keyboard. Hey, because, all right. I wonder if you type in Google. I remember I did a trick on my channel where you have someone, did I do it on my channel? Or I don't even know if I've shared the idea. I think I shared it on my channel. A way to find someone's star sign, you'd say, like, can you Google all the star signs? And it pops up and you say, is yours on the list? And they go, yes or no. Well, the thing is, if you Google star signs, it starts with a list of like four items.
Yeah.
But it's only the first four items in the zodiac. And if they say yes, you know their star sign is one of the first four. And it's a real Google search. You're not looking at their phone. And if they say no, you know it's one of the last eight. And then out of that information, you can whittle it down, you know, depending. Yeah. But that instant hit of knowing which quarter or three quarters of the zodiac it's in. And I wonder if you typed into Google divination methods. And you're like, look, if you can't think of any, maybe Google some and just look at some of the ones that come straight up on the first hit. And you'll know there's only like three on there.
That's cool. I'm gonna have to test that out later.
Yeah, I can test it out right now. Divination methods, let's go.
That also made me think, just a completely kind of random thought, but it feels like 50% of the time when I'm trying to come up with a mentalism effect, it's me desperately trying to think of new categories that haven't been used in anything. You know, it's very, you know, a star sign, there's only 12 items in it.
Yeah.
And animals, there's however many animals, whatever it is. But I've spent so long trying to think of new categories or categories that no one has used before.
Oh.
Do you know the way, I think I've spoken about it before. There's an effect I've been working on for a little while to do with dream jobs when you were a child.
Yeah,
And that
was one of the first things you ever told me about.
Oh, was it?
Sweet. That and the PK touches thing that you have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right, I remember. That's a surprisingly small list. If you're talking about cliche dream jobs as a child, that's a surprisingly small list that I hadn't seen anyone else utilize before. But it's so hard thinking of a category that hasn't been done to death.
Yeah, that's true. Categories that everybody has something in common, that everybody's touched upon, but nobody's...
Anyone who, like yourself, has worked with anagrams before know how annoying it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's already done superheroes. They've already done animated movies. They've already done.
It's one for another day, I think, because there'll be a lot of radio silence here. Otherwise.
100%. It was just I was just thinking, you know, with Cognito, when you were discussing Cognito as well, it popped up into my head. I spend way too much time trying to think of categories that haven't been mined to death.
What do you want to be when you're older? It's almost like questions you'd ask to kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What would be your old one? Such a good one though, because it's only ever like doctor, lawyer, spaceman, fireman,
yeah,
postman, nurse.
Yeah. No one steal that category, by the way, because I'm still working on that, and it's really cool.
What are the other ones that kids say? Race car driver. I was remembering in school, a friend of mine, Wilson, the teacher asked us all, what do you want to be when you're older? She went, I was 11 years old. It was the first day of comprehensive school. So it was a get to know each other sort of thing. One of my lifelong best friends, Wilson, I'm actually going to Vietnam to his wedding in September. He's completely like on his own, this guy. And everyone else said, oh, I want to be a footballer. I want to be a singer, doctor, nurse, lawyer. I can't remember. I think I said lawyer for some reason. I had no intention of being a lawyer. I know. And there's a solicitor in the UK. And then Wilson, out of nowhere. Well, actually, let me tell you one more thing, because this is just funny. But everyone said their full name, right? So stand up, come to me, Lloyd Thomas Barnes. And then Wilson stood up, and I'd never met him before. It was the first day of meeting him. We were in different primary schools. So he stood up and he said, Wilson Sinbad Howley. And they said, what do you want to be when you're older? And he said, a diamond thief. And we were 11. Like, I never met him before. Everyone else was like, what?
That's dumb.
There's all this guy's name's Wilson Sinbad Howley, and he wants to be a diamond thief. Like, the coolest answer ever. And then they carried on. Everyone else wanted to be things. So years later, me and Wilson became like, you know, he was a groomsman at my wedding, close. But it was like 4 years later, and we can finish the podcast on this. It's a stupid story, but I was telling her, I was like, oh yeah, I was telling my grandmother by this point because it was time to like meet, you know, friends and families. Oh man, my, you know, my best friend in school is Wilson Sinbad Howley. His first name is Wilson, but his middle name is Sinbad. And then like, I tell my grandmother, Nan, my friend Wilson, guess what his middle name is? Sinbad. How cool is that? I was telling everyone. And then we were with a bunch of people who Wilson hadn't met before, like my friend Kyle and things. And I was like, oh guys, you'll never guess what Wilson's name is. Has he ever told you his middle name? Has he ever told you this? And they were like, no. I was like, it's Sinbad. I was like, how badass is that? And Wilson like looked at me. He's like, what are you on about, dude? And I was like, it's your name. And he's like, my middle name is John. I'm like, what? I was like, hang on a minute. And it was one of those moments where like my world turned upside down. And I was like, what do you mean it's John? It's Sinbad. I know it's Sinbad because it was the very first thing I learned about you ever. And he goes, no, I just made that up on the day because I was bored. And I was like, that made me realize that like he was like my favorite person in history. Who does that? What 11-year-old of his own volition wasn't showing off to anyone? Like, we didn't know anyone in the class because they combined loads of schools together into new classes. Yeah. Just did it bored in a class day one of a new school. I was like, this is the coolest guy in history. But also, yeah, one of those. I remember Tony Chang talking about when he found out Hugh Jackman was Australian. He's in an interview somewhere, and he was on about watching a show. The first time he realized he didn't know, and it was like a magic moment. Like, whoa, what? And the reason I tell that story about Wilson and his name being Sinbad is because I'm wondering how else could you do something like that where it's like the great, it's like the Kaiser Sose moment, you know?
Yeah, the rug pull. I love that, especially when you, well, it hits you most when you're not expecting anything, doesn't it?
Yeah, imagine you're at a wedding, you're performing to everyone, and it turns out you're the groom.
I'd like to think that people know the groom of the wedding they're going to, unless you're talking about, you know,
true.
Masked magician kind of thing going on.
No, that's a very good point.
I love that, man. Did you want to go through like two or three more questions, or are you hungry for your pizza?
Well, we've been going for like an hour and a half, and I try so hard to keep these tight because I do think there's so much cool stuff to talk about. But by like the 3 or 4 hour mark, people might be like, okay, we get it. You guys do the thinking stuff.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll questions just message everyone and I'll tell them all that you let them
we
down.
Did it. We did the questions.
It. No, not these questions.
There's more?
Yeah.
Let's do them next week. I've got to eat some pizza. Dude, it's late.
My guy says this like I haven't been up since 6 working as well.
Yeah, right. Well,
all right, fine. No, it's cool, Luke. Don't worry. I'll tell these people.
I'm not worried.
Who asked the question on your server on Discord? I'll leave them. Don't worry.
No, we'll do readers' questions next week.
Yeah,
we answered a bunch of questions this time, so everyone's happy. Everybody's satisfied.
Two questions.
What? Who's counting? Not me. I don't know. What? Anyway, guys, thank you all for tuning in. We're sorry it went on so long. And, you know, luckily for you guys, you're welcome. I managed to stop Jake going on even longer with the readers' questions.
No. I'm not being painted as the villain.
You look like that guy from What We Do in the Shadows today.
Which one?
What's his name? Is it What We Do in the Shadows? What's his name? The original version, not like the film one. No, the film one, not the. I don't know. I'm rambling. I'm genuinely so hungry. Do you know how you can tell when I'm hungry? I start to move more. I start to like wiggle.
Okay, go. Go.
Okay. All right. Yes. I was getting so distracted there. I was going to do an ACAN to you.
Just go. Leave. You're all free. Right.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
See you all next week. Bye. Such a way to end the show. So abrupt.
I don't want to end it.
Well, oh man, I'm just too hungry to do the questions right now.
Go.
Peace, everyone.